Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
Good News in the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks go to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I'm so glad that you've tuned in to today's program. My name is Brent Russett. I am the senior pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I've been pastoring there for 27 years. One of the things I love to do is show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. This particular program is sponsored by Bruce Newman, and he salutes Jericho Road Christian Ministries. Jericho Road is a registered charity that exists to serve the poor, the addicted, and the mentally ill. They do such an outstanding job in our community. So thanks, Bruce, for recognizing them and supporting us. I know that some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a long time. I know others of you think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not really sure of this Christian thing. I know others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. I trust that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you will find this program interesting and informative. And I believe for those of you who desire it, God can use something like this to take you another step closer to Him. This morning, I want to talk about having peace with God. I'm going to be looking at a passage of Scripture that was penned by the Apostle Paul, and it's found in his letter to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 4, verse 25 to 5:11. Now, I need to warn you, when Paul writes, he often says a lot using very few words, but I think that if you hear this whole Scripture passage, it will be helpful. It says this, Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, but he was raised to life for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who He has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have been justified by His blood, how much more should we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. I used to love it when I was in school and you go to class and just before an exam, and the teacher takes the time to sum up all that he or she has been saying during the semester. Basically, I've been teaching you this. Here's the synopsis. Here's the big important points. Here's what you need to study for. That's kind of what the Apostle Paul is doing in this passage of Scripture. He's saying, let me put together all the things that I've been talking to you up to this point in the letter to the Romans. I've been saying all this in the previous four chapters. This is the summary, and I want you to know it's really, really good news. Well, how you look for a job has changed over the years, and right now it seems like your social media account is more important than your resume. In fact, your LinkedIn account may have more strength than your resume. For those of you who don't know what a LinkedIn account is, it's about connections. It is about who you know and who knows you and who knows you and who they know. The thought is that if you're looking for work, someone in your social network may be looking for your skill set, or someone that your social network knows may be looking for your skill set. Finding a job these days seems to be all about who you have a relationship with. Now, in the course of your lifetime, if you've ever made some enemies, I would suggest that they not be part of your LinkedIn account. I would suggest that you don't put them as a reference on your resume. If you view someone as your enemy, you don't expect them to do you any favors. Can you imagine a potential employer going to someone who you think is your enemy and saying, "So, what do you think of this person?" I can just imagine the conversation, and it's not going to go well for you. Your enemies are probably not going to do you any favors. Now, imagine that every time you met this person that you think is your enemy, that you keep on insulting them, and you use every opportunity to slander them or to obstruct them. If that's the case, then it's just, you would expect that they are especially not going to do you any favors. You would expect the same treatment back. With this in mind, let's go back to our passage of Scripture that we read from Romans chapter 5. And I'm going to go through this passage in the order that it usually happens rather than the order that it's written. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For if while we were God's enemies..." Notice that Paul says we were God's enemies. Now, God wasn't our enemy, but we were God's enemy. Like, face it, if the all-powerful God of the universe was our enemy, we'd be nothing but a splat in the floor. However, we were God's enemies. And being his enemies, you wouldn't expect him to do us any favors. But that is what is so amazing about God. If you were here, have read back in Romans chapter 1, you might remember what happened there. The short answer is that we sinned. Humanity sinned. If you take a close look at what sin looked like, it's like this. And instead of worshiping God, we worship the things that God created. Instead of giving thanks to God, we ignored him and attributed what he had done to other things. In short, what we did was make idols. We committed idolatry. Now I know when a lot of people think of idols, they think of these little statues that people worship. But idols come in many forms. An idol is anything that you ascribe more importance to than God. An idol could take the form of money, or power, or sports, or family, or it can even take look like indifference to God. We can give that kind of importance to our careers or to our feeling of popularity. We can even give our hobbies idol status. We can make ourselves and our own personal comfort an idol. An idol is something that reigns over our lives, some people will do anything for money or for power or for safety or to get what they want. These idols dictate our choices. Everything else takes a second seat. If you read Scripture, you realize that you were made to have a relationship with God. You were made to live in a good relationship with the community around you. You were made to have a vocation, something that you do to cause the community and the world around you to flourish. You were made to worship God, and you were given authority to make choices to carry out these tasks. But when you create idols and worship not God but the things that God created, you give authority to that which was meant to that was not meant to be handed over to the creative realm. Yeah, now instead of coming under God and ruling over creation in that way, in a way that causes things to flourish, you come under something that in creation and something that takes on spiritual powers. Idols themselves have this way of grasping spiritual powers of the demonic forces is behind them. And when you worship idols, you put yourself under that. And what is created is you hand over your authority to these spiritual forces of darkness, and they use that authority to mess up the world. And that's why we live in a broken world. And we ourselves are broken people. So what was God's response to not worshiping him, but rather worshiping the things that he created? Well, the Bible talks about the wrath of God. Now, the wrath of God is not like some people think, where God's upstairs with a spiritual baseball bat looking to clobber us over the head. No, what the wrath of God looks like is that, well, he says to us, you know, you want to abandon me and you want to go your own way? Well, you want to live life without me? Well, I'm going to let you do what you want to do. I'm going to let you live life without me. I'm going to turn you over to your own lusts and your own wants. And the Bible said that he did. And his wrath said he let us go and do what we want to do. And the result is that, well, we became very inventive of ways to do bad things and evil. And so we were behaving badly. We were under God's wrath, which meant he abandoned us to our own lust. And we and our world became more and more broken. Our relationship with others got messed up. Our relationship with ourselves got messed up. Our relationship with the world around us got messed up. You would think through that process that God would stop loving us. He didn't. Some people think that the wrath of God and the love of God are irreconcilable. They're not. It's like the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told. A son comes to his father and says, "Give me my share of the estate." What an insult to the father. The dad, he says, "Dad, you know, I know that someday you're going to kick the bucket and I'm going to come into an inheritance. I can't wait for that to happen. Give me my inheritance right now." Well, the father in the story amazingly says, "Well, if that's what you want, it's yours. I'm taking my hands off." He's kind of like the wrath of God, abandoning us to what we want. Well, the son took his inheritance and he squandered his wealth in wild living. If you know the story, in fact, it wasn't that the father stopped loving the son. He abandoned the son to his own desires. But when the son came back, the father welcomed him with wide open arms. He threw a party for him. It was a demonstration of his deep love for his son. The wrath of God and the love of God are not incompatible. Well, we're going to listen to a song about the love of God. Paul Balazs is going to sing "Because of Your Love."
Because of your love. clean. We lift you up with songs of freedom, forever we're changed because of your love.
Well, back to our story of the love of God. We'd worship what God had created rather than God himself. God abandons us to our own lusts as we made idols out of what he created. And the problems with idols, of course, is that, well, they're always demanding more and more. If money is your idol, well, how much money is enough? Well, just a little bit more. If power is your idol, how much power is enough? Well, just a little bit more. If you yourself are your idol, then you make life all about you and you demand just a little bit more from those around you. So we're under the authority of idols and we did all kinds of evil things and we're powerless because the idols reigned over our lives and we weren't doing good. And here's what Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says. You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. We were powerless and we were ungodly. And yet, though we were enemies of God and though we had abandoned God by worshiping idols, and even though we were powerless to do anything about it, and our position, to put it nicely, was ungodly, it says Christ died for us. That just seems a little bit weird to me. It seemed weird to Paul, too, because in Romans chapter 5, verse 7, he says, well, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why did Jesus die for us? It was a demonstration of God's love. Even though we abandoned him, he loved us. So what does it mean? Well, come back to chapter 4, verse 25. He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised to life for our justification. God demonstrated his love for us so that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ was delivered over to death for our sins. Remember, sins are more than the fact that we broke the rule. Sin is more than the fact that we missed the mark of God's perfection. We were made in the image of God to reflect the character of God, to live out the purposes of God. And in a failing to worship and to give thanks to God, but rather worshiping the things that God created, and then the image of God within us was shattered. And we could no longer reflect God, we could no longer fulfill his purposes, and we could no longer live those purposes out in the world. We became broken, and our world became broken. That's the result of sin. And Jesus was delivered over to death for our sin. He died because of your idolatry and mine. And he was raised to life for our justification. Justification is a big word it's the idea of being made right. Although we had committed adultery, although we were left to do all kinds of evil and did, and although the image of God in us was shattered and broken and we live in a broken world, he was raised to life for our justification. He was raised to life to make us right. He was raised to life to take care of our sins. The broken image of God in us, the power of idols over us, the evil that we have done to ourselves and to others, it was made right. Because it was made right, it says in verse 1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Therefore, because of all that I've said, since we have been justified by faith, Paul says, faith is believing that God will do what he said he would do, believing that Jesus took your sin on the cross, believing that you have been made right with God because of what Jesus has done for you. Since you have been justified by faith, you have peace with God. We have peace with God. From our perspective, we were God's enemies. From God's perspective, we were under his wrath. He left us to ourselves. There was no relationship. But because of what Jesus did for you, you have peace with God. There is peace in your relationship. But more than that, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and you've gained access by faith into this grace into which we now stand. So it's not only that our relationship has been restored, but because you have put your faith in Christ, you have gained access into this grace in which we now stand. Now, grace here is seen as a place to stand. It's a status conferred on us. Grace here means that you're no longer God's enemies. It means that you are no longer under his wrath. You're standing in a place of grace. You are highly favored by God. It's just not being tolerated by God. God really, really likes you. Well, a couple of months ago, I had the pleasure of going into Service Ontario to get a sticker for my motorcycle. And if you've ever had that pleasure, you walk in and you take a number and you wait. I got my number and there was about 70 people ahead of me. I sat down to wait and I always have a book with me, so I was just reading my book. And a little while later, this lady who I don't think I've ever met, but although if you know me, I'm really bad with faces. This lady walks across the room, past a whole bunch of people and asked me what my number is. I was surprised. I tell her my number. She says, well, here, have my number. She hands me her number and walks out the door. So instead of waiting for 70 numbers to go by, I had to wait for 15 numbers to go by. I have no idea why she picked me out of a packed room, but I took it as an act of grace, unmerited, unearned favor. And I was thankful. I got my sticker faster and I was out of there quick. Can you imagine not only an act of grace, but standing in grace, where the face of God is always smiling upon you? Oh, I don't mean that you always get bumped to the front of the line, but where you experience God's peace and love and joy, where you experience God's pleasure. That is what it means to stand in a place of grace. Well, maybe you're listening today and you've never put your faith in Jesus. You know that the way you're living shows that you are God's enemies. You're not worshiping God. You're worshiping what God's created. Your life is not centered around God. It's centered on something else. And more than that, you can sense that you are under God's wrath, not that God's looking to hit you over the head with a spiritual baseball bat, but that you just know that God has turned you over to everything you want. He's letting you do all the things your heart desires, but you have seen the emptiness of that, and you've seen where it has broken you, and you're a long way off from God. Here's what I want you to know. In spite of everything, God really loves you. Before you could ever think of loving God, God really loves you. Jesus died so you could have a relationship so that your relationship with God could be restored. He died so your sins could be forgiven and that you could be made right with God. My question is do you want to be made right with God? Do you want to come into a relationship with the God of the universe? If you do, if you'll simply pray a prayer like, Jesus, I need you. I know I haven't lived the way I should have. I've sinned. I know I've heard that you've died for my sin. I know that I'm powerless to do anything about it, but I know that you entered into this world so that I could have a relationship with God. Your word says that if I trust you, if I put my faith in you, that you'll make things right. I'm asking you to do that, Jesus. Would you please forgive me of my sins, come into my life, make things right? I want to worship God. I don't want to worship idols. I'm trusting you to do this. It's not the words of the prayer that matters. It's putting your faith in Jesus and what Jesus has said. If you pray a prayer like that, then God is always faithful. He will do what he said he will do. You will be like the son in the story where the father welcomed him back with open arms. And more than that, you'll stand in a place of grace. You'll have this place of favor. God not only forgives you, but you'll find that he really, really likes you. I want to encourage you to pray a prayer like that today so that you can have peace with God. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for each person who's listening. I'm asking, Lord, that you would speak to them and allow them to come into a right relationship with you. Lord, thank you so much for the fact that you want to show your love to each person that's listening. I'm asking, Lord, that you would speak grace into each person's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for listening this morning. Hey, I've got to save the date for you. September 30th, Ernie Cox and the London Trio Plus is going to be doing a benefit concert for Sunnyside Wesleyan Church at 7 p.m. Now, Ernie Cox and the London Trio Plus has done a couple of benefit concerts for us, and they are an amazing time of just coming together, some great, great music to listen to. It is a fun evening. So mark it on your calendar, September 30th at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. Start time is 7 p.m. Hey, I want to thank Bruce Newman for sponsoring today's program. He gave a shout-out to Jericho Road Christian Ministries. Jericho Road is a wonderful ministry within our city. It helps the poor and the mentally ill and the addicted. And I've seen a number of people who have seen amazing progress through what they have done. Hey, my name is Brent Russett. I'm the pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church. And it is my privilege to bring you good news in the morning. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in. If you've been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website gncm.ca. And be sure to share your good news if you've come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations on which we depend to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals and companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J 2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart. And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, and accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.